NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella, with the man, the myth, the legend, Will Coleman. Will, how's it going?
Howdy, Mike. Doing great. Just running the marathon one step at a time.
Well, today's an intimate episode for the RAND CRE Show. We're going to talk about PFS, the three letters that not many people talk about in commercial real estate, but it's super important. Will, what is a PFS?
Yeah, so PFS stands for your personal financial statement. And basically what it is, it's just a snapshot of your assets and liabilities, right? So you've got one side that shows your assets being cash, stocks and bonds, the value of your life insurance, and just a quick subset would be cash value of life insurance, any automobiles you have, any personal property, if you have art, all of your assets, anything that's worth value. On the other side, it shows your liabilities, so any debt, any credit card payments you have, anything like that. So it's a snapshot of just what you have in terms of your assets as well as your liabilities.
Absolutely. So the big reason is that we're going through, the bank wants to see the equity piece, right? So when looking at it, it's the cost basis. I think a lot of people want to get appraisals. Like, I know Will mentioned art. And be like, it's priceless to me, billions of dollars, but you have to be realistic with it and have those appraisals. But I think more importantly is people want to know what that value is of your retirement accounts and all that good stuff at the cash basis. So it's important to realize when you're filling it out, making sure your valuations for that.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually, because the personal financial statement at my old bank, we'd always say is the wild, wild west, because there's no right way to do it. There's no standard set way to do it. So for example, if you bought a house 10 years ago, do you put your cost basis of the house or do you put what you think it's worth valued? And you haven't had an appraisal in 5-6 years. So you don't really know what the actual value is. So what we would ask people to do when they're filling it out is state what they think the market value is and provide some explanation of why they or how they got to that value. So if you've got a single family, it's 1,800 square foot, and you're saying it's worth $20 million, you know, we're going to ask you why and how you got that valuation. If we don't agree with it, we probably will go based off the cost. So, you know, just do your best to fill it out honestly and be prepared to answer where you got those valuations. But for the most part, if you bought it recently, you know, going off cost is definitely the best way to do it.
Yeah, and it's important too. I think with anything in real estate, we've said it countless times, transparent and have that communication on the front end, right? So if you have that, like Will said, your personal residence or an investment property that's a single family, talk to your, you know, team and make sure your mortgage broker to allow you to help you fill it out, right? I think it's important. Don't try to fill it out and be perfect. People ask questions. It's a starting point, right? And just constantly ask good questions to learn from it so that you haven't filled out. And it's every time you buy a property, you need to fill this out. So it's super important that you're keeping it up to date. I'm trying to keep it up to date monthly just to kind of for my personal well-being.
Oh, that's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Will inspired me to do it. But it's just good to keep tabs, right, of where things are, how things are performing, and what are the valuations.
The irony is I haven't filled mine out in like a year.
Hey man,
I tell people to do it all the time.
Hey, that just means RANCAP's closing so many loans. Will can't even get his own life in order.
No, but I'm not borrowing at the moment, so I have no need. But that is, kind of ironic. But I mean, the next thing really is why is it important? Mm-hmm. Why do banks want to see your assets and your liabilities in a snapshot of your net worth? I mean, one, it shows your financial backing, right? So whatever you're borrowing on, if it does go bad, do you have the funds and the net worth to either take it straight out of your liquidity, or are you able to sell some assets and pay off your debts? So that's the first thing really, is they want to see your financial backing and your ability to, worst case scenario, pay off the loan. The second reason is really just to get an understanding of what you've done, what you own, where you're at. And agency, Fannie and Freddie and banks will look at it slightly differently. banks will put a lot more emphasis on your actual net worth and not so much of the SREO, which is your schedule of real estate owned. Banks will want to see what are your assets, how much liquidity you have. You know, if you have some real estate, that's fine. They don't need to know everything about the real estate. They'd prefer to see as much as possible, right? Because they will build a global cash flow and look at how much your properties are cash flowing. So the general rule of thumb is the more information you can put on your personal financial statement, the better. But a bank is going to need a less filled out personal financial statement just because they don't need to see that much detail on your SREO. Fannie and Freddie want everything, right? They're going to want to see your assets, your liabilities, and they're going to want to see each piece of real estate that you own. They're going to want to see when you bought it, how much you paid for it, the address, the current value, the current income, the current expenses.
Status.
Yeah, it's
thorough.
Yeah, it's thorough. And it is kind of annoying to fill out. I mean, here at RENCAP, we help a lot of our borrowers fill it out just to provide a service. But it is a lot to fill out. The good news is once you fill it out once, it's very easy to update. And it doesn't have to be to the dollar. So if your property makes $1 million, 200,000 and 28 cents or whatever, you can just put 1.2 million in income. So you can get a rough feel. Anything I missed there?
I think it's taking a step back from the bank's point of view. Why are they making you fill this out? They want to assess the risk of you as a borrower. Mm-hmm. Do you have the net worth? Can you qualify for the loan? If you have went bankrupt, I think that kind of shows your track record. So it's just a lot of different things that the PFS does that investors go, why do we have to do this? But it's really just, it's like a report card, if you will, of your track record, everything on two Excels, right? Two tabs. So it's just really important to make sure you understand, you know, they're assessing your risk. And you have to be honest with it, right? And if you don't have the most money in the world, you're gonna have to need partners and that have the liquidity, but also the net worth. So it's just really important to make sure you're partnering with good people that, I'm not saying you have to have the most money, but partnering with people that have that liquidity and net worth to make sure you qualify for the deal and have a good track record to make it work.
Yeah, and last two points I would add in here is basically the majority of lenders are going to want to see the net worth equal to or greater than the loan amount. Yeah. So if you're going for $1 million loan, they like to see your net worth equal to around $1 million. Some banks will fluctuate, so it's not super strict, and some will be very strict. But for the most part, in all kind of sections of lending, whether it's mobile home parks, multifamily, Fannie, Freddie, banks, CMBS lenders, HUD, you know, they do fluctuate a bit, but that's a very good benchmark to assess where your net worth is and what kind of loan you qualify on. On the liquidity side, they normally like to see some level of post-closing ability to make debt service payments. So if your debt payment is $100 a month, after you put your down payment down, they like to see about 9 months worth of debt service. So 9 to 12, it's kind of in that range. So your debt payment's 100. They want to see that after you put down the down payment, you have at least $900 in a big bank account in liquidity. So just net worth and liquidity standpoints across the spectrums of lending, that's a good ballpark. And last piece I would say is make sure to sign your personal financial statement. 99.9% of people do not sign it. That's because it's normally on an Excel spreadsheet, so they fill it out and email it over. But I would highly recommend signing it, even if you have a signature that you can scan and just copy and paste and put it into the PFS. Like, it needs to be signed. We're going to re-ask for that at closing. So
I didn't know that. The more you know.
No one signs it. It's shocking.
Yeah. And I think and if you're starting off and you're like, oh man, I don't have these benchmarks or I'm not where I want to be, you know, really do the homework and clean up any bad debt, making sure you're working on it. Because I think as long as banks see the progress of you doing it and partners are going to want to see you do it too. I mean, I've heard some groups do background checks on partners. So if you're starting off and you're not where you want to be, it's okay. People will partner with you, but you have to show you're progressing through the ranks and getting through it. So just keep working at it. This is a super long game we're playing, but just continue to realize that if you're looking at deals starting off and maybe you're looking at 100 plus units and you're not there, maybe go down to the 10 to 20 and cut your teeth on those to really get you the experience and then the net worth so that you can tack on those bigger deals as you go. Because I think people listen to podcasts like this and are like, I need to do the $100 million deal tomorrow. And it's like, that takes time. And it's okay to do a 20 unit, manage it yourself, and continue through the ranks. But it just don't feel like you have to do it. Everyone wants the overnight success, but it takes 10 years to be that overnight success. So it's a very long game we're playing, and it's okay.
Yeah, and you, the saying goes, you heal what you reveal. And I know I'm being hypocritical because I don't fill mine out, but this has inspired me, right? So yeah. I'm going to start filling it out quarterly so that I can heal what I reveal.
Perfect. And Will, what's the most important? I know we kind of talked about it, but the SREO, what's that?
So yeah, I mean, SREO is a schedule of real estate owned. Agency will want to see it very detailed, filled out. And it's just a list of all the properties you own, all the single family, all the condos, all the multifamily, all the retail, and just all of the details about those properties. Again, address, value, debt, income, expenses, cap rates, percentage owned, length of ownership. So it's just a detailed list of the real estate that you own.
Gotcha. And what are, I know we talked about it off air, but what are some common mistakes that people make when filling out their SREO portion?
What did we talk about? What was it?
The single family house valuations if you have partnerships.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you own a house, make sure to put 100% of the value and 100% of the debt, but then make sure to disclose the percentage that you own. Different lenders will look at it slightly differently, but it's just important to be very transparent about the percentage of that asset that you own so that you're not getting hit with too much of the value or too much of the debt or vice versa. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sweet.
Let's take a moment for our sponsors.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
And we're back. So Will, you're the investor pro tip master for this PFS. What pro tip do you have for our listeners today?
So my pro tip is a shameless plug. We built a Rand Capital personal financial statement. If you go to our website, randcapllc.com, and then click start the conversation and input your contact information, we can send you the personal financial statement that we created. We got it from a Fannie lender. So it's designed for Fannie and Freddie. It's very detailed. There's even videos within that template that shows you how to fill it out. So you can click a link on that, watch the video and learn, and it teaches you how to fill it out. So my pro tip again, randcapllc.com. Click start the conversation, fill out the info, and we will send that your way.
Yeah. And it's a powerful tool. And I think the best thing about it is the looms doctored in, like Will said, Wild West, but Will has a lot of great videos on there to help walk you through it. And you can rewatch it again and again. So it's a very helpful tool. We've sent it internally to people on our team, so they're prepared to do deals as well. So it's just powerful tools made by the Will Coleman.
Yeah, I've been impressed by the amount of people like in our management team. It's like, hey, can you send me that personal financial statement? So it's definitely useful.
Yeah. Anything else, Will, leave the listeners on?
Good to go. Short and sweet. I like it.
Short and sweet. So get your PFS. Make sure you're ready to tackle on big deals, because the last thing you want to do is delay close because you're scrambling, filling this out, checking receipts and stuff. But, you know, there you have it. Another episode of the RAN Siri Show. If you have any questions for us, reach out to us at info@ranciri.com. Mine is MikeT@ranciri.com, and it's Will@ranciri.com. There you have it. See you next week.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.